Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 31, The Gopi Songs of Separation. Text 18. Vraja Vanakasam Vyaktir Anga Te Vrijina Antri Alam Vishva Mangala Tyaja Manak Cha Nas Twat Sprihatmana Swajana Ridruja Yan Nishudanam Rajavanokasa. Rajavanokasam Vyaktirangate.
Rajavanokasam Vyaktirangate.
Vijina Hantriyalam Vishwamangalam.
Vijina Hantriyalam Vishwamangalam.
Tyaja Manakcha Nas Twat Sprihatmanam.
Tyaja Manakcha Nas Twat Sprihatmanam.
Swajana Vidrujam Yan Nishodhanam. Rajavanaka Samvyaktirangate.
Rajavanaka Samvyaktirangate.
Vrijina Hantriyalam Vishwamangalam.
Vrijina Hantriyalam Vishwamangalam.
Yajamanakcha nastvat srihatmanam.
Yajamanakcha nastvat srihatmanam.
Swajana vitrujam yannishodhanam.
Swajana vitrujam yannishodhanam.
Rajavanokasam vyaktirangate.
Rajavanokasam vyaktirangate.
Vijina Hantriyalam Vishwamangalam.
Vijina Hantriyalam Vishwamangalam.
Tyaja Manakcha Nas Twat Sprihatmanam.
Tyaja Manakcha Nas Twat Sprihatmanam.
Swajana Ritrujam Yan Nishodhanam.
Swajana Ritrujam Yan Nishodhanam.
Vrajavana.
Vrajavana.
In the forests of Vraja.
In the forests of Vraja.
Okasam.
Okasam.
For those who dwell.
For those who dwell.
Vyakti.
Vyakti.
The appearance.
The appearance.
Anga.
Anga.
Dear one. Te your Vrijina of distress. Hantri, the agent of destruction. Alam,
extremely so.
Vishwamangalam, all auspicious. Tyaja, please release. Manak, a little. Cha, and Na to us. Twat for you. Spriha with hankering. Atmanam, whose minds are filled. Swa, your own. Jana, devotees. Frit, in the hearts. Rujam, of the disease. Yat, which is. Nishudanam, that which counteracts. Translation. O beloved, your all auspicious appearance vanquishes the distress of those living in Vraja's forests. Our minds long for your association. Please give to us just a bit of that medicine which counteracts the disease in your devotees' hearts. Now there are other verses, 15, 16 and 17. Which have no purports. We'll read those before we read the purport. And then actually text 19, which is the last verse in the chapter, next verse, it has no purport. Well, it has just a note referring to it being quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, so we can read that too. Atatiyad bhavan anikananam trutiyugayate twamapashyatam Kutila kuntalam shrimukam chate jada udikshatam pakshma krid drisham. Translation. When you go off to the forest during the day, a tiny fraction of a second becomes like a millennium for us because we cannot see you. And even when we can eagerly look upon your beautiful face, so lovely with its adornment of curly locks, our pleasure is hindered by our eyelids, which were fashioned by the foolish creator. Pati sutanvaya brachi bandavan ati vilangya te ten chutagata Gativadas tavod gita mohita kitava yoshita kascha jen nishi. Dear Achyuta, you know very well why we have come here. Who but a cheetah like you would abandon young women who come to see him in the middle of the night, enchanted by the loud song of his flute? Just to see you, we have completely rejected our husbands, children, ancestors, brothers, and other relatives. Text 17. Rahasi samvidam rich chayodayam prahasitananam prema vikshanam brihad ura shriyo vikshyadamate Muhur ati spriha muyate mana. Our minds are repeatedly bewildered as we think of the intimate conversations we had with you in secret, feeling the rise of lust in our hearts, and remember your smiling face, your loving glances, and your broad chest, the resting place of the goddess of fortune. Thus, we experience the most severe hankering for you. Vrajavano kasam vyakirangate brijina hantriyalam vishvamangalam tyajamanakchanas tvatsprihatmanam swajana hrit rujam yam nishudanam. O beloved, your all auspicious appearance vanquishes the distress of those living in Braja's forests. Our minds long for your association. Please give to us just a bit of that medicine which counteracts the disease in your devotees' hearts. And I'll read the last verse and then we'll read the Pentateuch. Yate sujata charanam buruham staneshu bita shanai priyatadimahi karkasheshu te natavim atasitad vyatate nakim svit kur pad bir brahmati dir bhavad ayusham na. O dearly beloved, your lotus feet are so soft that we place them gently on our breasts, fearing that your feet will be hurt. Our life rests only in you. Our minds, therefore, are filled with anxiety that your tender feet might be wounded by pebbles as you roam about on the forest path. This is Prabhupada's translation from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila 4.173. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to the 10th canto, 31st chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Gopis' Songs of Separation, and the purport of verse 18. According to the Acharyas, the gopis repeatedly entreat Lord Krishna to place His lotus feet on their breasts. The gopis are not victims of material lust, but rather they are absorbed in pure love of Godhead, and thus want to serve Lord Krishna's lotus feet by offering their beautiful breasts to Him. Materialistic persons who are victims of mundane sex desire will not be able to understand how these conjugal dealings take place on a pure spiritual platform, and that is the materialist's great misfortune. Did I say it was the purport by Srila Prabhupada? Oh, I didn't. Okay, that's good. One gets just into the habit. Yes, so that was the purport by our BBT commentators, translators. Vigana Tamaranda Sya Giranjana Shalakaya Chakra Miludamiyena Tasmai Shri Guru Devana Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishvam Stapitamiyena Bhutane Swayam Rupa Kadama Yam Dadati Swavadaki Panchakalpa Guru Gis Jagri Pasindu Vyavcha Padidhanam Bhavani Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namo Laha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasana Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is a very beautiful part of Srimad Bhagavatam. In certain respects, of course, it is known as the most beautiful part, the relationship of Lord Krishna with the cowherd girls of Vrindavan, the gopis. These pastimes are celebrated, the relationship is celebrated as the supreme manifestation of reality. Most exalted activities between the most exalted people in the most exalted place, and everything is just the topmost, without exception. Some of these verses we have heard, like the last verse is a famous verse which is referred to by Srila Prabhupada in a number of places. The gopis' concern for the well-being of the Lord, as our commentators point out, referring to the previous acharyas in the purport to verse 18, it appears that there is some, well, considerable material lust here. It seems like a typical relationship with typical attractions and feelings and desires and so on, as is there on the material platform. Those things which are celebrated so much on the material platform. The attraction between male and female. Pumsa striya nitini bhavame tanteo mataridai grantamahu aho griha kshetra sutapta vrtaya janasya mahoyam ahambaneti. Stated in the fifth canto that the attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. And on the basis of this attraction, a person becomes attached to body, home, property, children, relatives, and wealth. And in this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. So this is the classic scenario in material life, on the material platform. And it appears that what is going on here, particularly what is described in the purport, that the gopis want to offer their bodies in the sense of conjugal relationship. They want to offer their bodies to Krishna. So it sounds like, can easily be interpreted in those common material terms which everyone is familiar with in material existence and which we hear about so much. But actually it is not like that. In fact, it is literally the polar opposite of that. It is the expression of the most exalted state of pure spiritual consciousness in the condition of being the most free from those very material things which people would be prone to interpret as existing here. Actually, it is exactly the opposite. Completely the opposite. And the verse 19, which, as we mentioned, is a well-known verse, and Srila Prabhupada refers to it in a number of places here and there. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami quotes it in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and so on. It shows that it's not simply a matter of those lusty feelings, but in the minds of the gopis, there is great concern for the well-being of Lord Krishna, that they're concerned that when he's out in the forest, they're not just concerned that when will he get back so we can engage in sexual activities with him and get him to buy us things and all these different features of the material male-female relationship. They're not thinking of, let him come back quickly so we can enjoy him as much as possible, as much as we want, to our satisfaction. But they're actually concerned for Krishna's well-being. They're concerned for Krishna's well-being. Are his feet getting hurt on the rocks? The thorns? There's so much sun out there, it's hot. Will he get sunburnt or somehow or other fatigued? And so on and so forth. This is how the gopis are thinking. Even Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur makes the point elsewhere that Srimati Radharani, when there's just some ordinary discussion about things. And the discussion, somehow there's some discussion which involves talking about the forest and the hills in the Vrindavan area. Somehow or other, perhaps there's some discussion about the cows, where they're going, where they go, where they went, and so on in the forest. And then those devotees who are having this discussion, which Radharani is hearing, they mention, yes, we were out there with the cows, and there were so many rocks and thorns. And as soon as Radharani hears the word thorn, she cringes. As soon as she hears pebble, she feels very bad. Because immediately it reminds her of the statement here, that mood, that, oh, Krishna, he may step on a pebble and hurt his foot or a thorn, so on like this. So this is showing the purity. If it were just a matter of material attraction, then such feelings of genuine concern for the well-being of the Lord would not arise, even in that indirect sense, as referred to by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. If it were just a matter of the material considerations, then those pebbles and thorns wouldn't matter. They wouldn't matter. And the comfort of one's so-called beloved would not matter, other than in terms of your own pleasure. And so we find that when someone's material, so-called beloved, does become injured, that oftentimes the response is that, how will it affect me? And if it affects me, then I will abandon my so-called beloved. Yes. We have one case, we have more than one case, but one case that I'm very familiar with. The boy and the girl were going to get married. The boy had just bought the girl a motor car. It was all moving forward. Then the boy got in a terrible car accident and permanently handicapped, physically handicapped as a result, quite severely. Although he's functional, but perhaps only half or less than half as before. So the girl suddenly changed her mind and abandoned him and took the car. Yes, took the car. Wouldn't give it back, even though she'd only had it for a matter of days or a few weeks. Anyway, we won't mention any names, but this happened in our Hare Krishna community. So like this, whatever may happen to the beloved, if the beloved is robbed, then the question, the problem is, what distress my beloved is undergoing. I must comfort him and so on like that. But the distress is, will he have enough money now to get me what I want? And of course it's not always like that, but in the most sort of brazen form, then material consciousness is like that. It's certainly like that. And it certainly happens so much, this type of thing. But the gopis, they are concerned about Krishna. They're sincerely concerned, absolutely concerned, that they feel pain. They feel pain just thinking that Krishna may hurt himself somehow. He may trip over and fall or kick something, or some difficulty may arise out there in the wilds of Vrajamandala. he may become injured or something of that sort. So their concern is for him, not for how it may impact upon them, but simply for him, and always only for him. And this is the standard of their pure devotion. Of course, it is the conjugal relationship, but it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita very clearly in detail how all the rasas, as one goes from one lower to the next higher and then the next higher, like this, then all the characteristics, all the features of the lower rasa, it is not that they are replaced by all the different elements of the higher rasa, but they are simply supplemented by the elements of the higher rasa. And the elements of the lower rasa remain fully, fully present. Of course, because those elements from the lower rasa, they are lower, and the elements of the higher rasa are higher, and are the actual real substance of that particular, those particular devotees' love for Krishna. So the lower elements, they are not prominent and generally will only even become noticeable under certain special circumstances. Rather, the elements from the higher rasa, they will certainly dominate, predominate and be the practically entirely the manifest form of the love of those devotees. But still the fact is that the lower elements are present, and sometimes they do manifest themselves. Yes. So the gopis, conjugal attraction to Krishna, of course, it is conjugal. And it actually has those conjugal elements which are present in the material conjugal relationships, but the consciousness is so much different, as we said, polar opposite. In fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 15th chapter, the example is given of the reflected tree, that there's the real tree, which is Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual world. Then there's the reflected tree, which is this material world, like a tree on the bank of a lake, something like that. Looks the same, the reflection, but it has not got the substance of the real thing at all. And of course, what is at the top in the real tree, in the reflection, is at the bottom. Yes. So what is at the top of the real tree? What is at the top on the spiritual platform, in the spiritual kingdom? That is the love of Radha and Krishna particularly. And then it is the conjugal relationships in general with the gopis, like that. That is the top of the tree. But in the reflection, there, the perverted reflections of those things are at the bottom of the tree. The attraction between male and female, despite it being publicized, romanticized, promoted, encouraged in all sorts of colorful and attractive ways as being so nice, but actually the fact is it is the bottom of the tree. Sorry. To those who may have some ideas of happy days, lovey-dovey, and all these types of things. It is just the glorification of the bottom part of the tree, of the lowest part of reality, the most spiritually compromising, the most spiritually undermining, and that which is most opposed to Krishna consciousness, and the most dangerous. to those who are trying to become Krishna conscious. Yes, so the gopis though, their consciousness is just a world apart, exactly. A world apart. And they've only entered those conjugal relationships because they've come to that topmost platform of pure consciousness. Total, absolute freedom from even the slightest hint of some material attraction. Yes. So, this is a very important thing to appreciate, and the point is being made in the purport, briefly but nicely. It is the misfortune of the materialistic people that they, as soon as they hear about these things, Radha and Krishna like this, then immediately they just, certain pictures there in their mind. And their understanding, their attitude towards it is simply based on that. So, yes, the love of the gopis is the most exalted state of Krishna consciousness, spiritual consciousness, any consciousness. And the conjugal element is there. This is discussed in Chaitanya Charitamrita there, where there's an elaborate discussion of this point, that Mother Yashoda, of all the other devotees, of the devotees who are not in the conjugal relationship, the next highest is Mother Yashoda. The parental relationship is the next highest, and amongst the parental devotees, Mother Yashoda is the topmost. So beneath the those in the conjugal rasa, Mother Yashoda is the next devotee. So Mother Yashoda, she is willing to do anything for Krishna. She'll give her life, just like that. She won't even have to think, oh, what's going to happen. She'll just give her life if it's some dangerous situation. Just done, gone for Krishna. Not even a thought for her own well-being. In that parental mood, which means to protect Krishna, look after Krishna, see to Krishna, and care for Krishna like that. But, so, and then, what makes the difference between her consciousness and the gopi's consciousness is that she, or rather the gopis, they are willing to do even more of anything. She is not willing to do conjugal things with Krishna. But the gopis, they're willing to do all that she is willing to do. But plus, even conjugal things which she, in terms of her consciousness, would think are improper, not right. And she would not do them. But the gopis, they're willing to do. If Krishna wants, then they'll do anything. Doesn't matter. And actually there's literally no limit. They'll do anything in neutrality, in servitude, in friendship, in the parental mood, anything. Plus they'll do anything in the conjugal mood. And there's actually no limit. So therefore their love for Krishna is unlimited, particularly Srimati Radharani. So, the development in Krishna consciousness, which is required to come, or at least without which there's no possibility of coming to the platform of conjugal relationship, it is not just a question of what sort of relationship would I like to have with Krishna. Well, how do I feel? What would I like to? I like running around and be open and having fun and playing games. Maybe I'll be a coward. Or I like boyfriends, girlfriends, all that. So maybe I'll have a relationship like that. This is not really relevant. But the first thing which has to be there, and without which there can be no question of that type of relationship is the development of the mood of surrender in devotional service, where one becomes completely unconditional and ready to render service as required to the nth degree and beyond without limit. This is actually what is required. This is the type of progress that the devotee will have to make. I mean, this is pure devotional service, of course, but without this, there's no question of conjugal rasa. In another sense, there's no question of any rasa, but certainly there's no question of conjugal rasa. And any idea that, yes, maybe I would like to have such a relationship with Krishna is simply meaningless. Or if not meaningless, it just means the wrong thing. That one is prone to have that type of material attraction and one is applying it to Krishna. Yes, so what is required then is not just to be conjugally attracted in one way or another, but what is required is that standard of pure devotional service, of that unlimited capacity, unlimited willingness to do anything, to please the Lord, to spread Krishna consciousness, to serve the Lord, to serve the spiritual master, to serve the devotees. This is what is required, this type of advancement. Otherwise, there's no question of any rasa, and what to speak of the conjugal rasa. And then in the first verse, although there's no purport, we may recognize that statement. This is a statement by Srimati Radharani, and this is pointed out by Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Prabhupada mentions it also, how, I forget exactly which chapter it's in, but Srila Prabhupada makes the point that, or mentions this point, that Srimati Radharani was appreciating so much how wonderful it was to see Krishna that she was regretting the fact that her eyes would blink every so often. And during that split second, it really is just a fraction of a second, during that fraction of a second, she was unable to see Krishna. So you may recall having read that in Nectar of Devotion, that she then is expressing regret and frustration about this. She then said, Srila Prabhupada says that she told Lord Brahma that you are a dunce. If I remember correctly, Srila Prabhupada uses this word. It's sort of archaic English word. Means the most stupid person in the class, who's always messing things up. So, yeah, Prabhupada talks about this, how Radharani accuses Lord Brahma that you think you're a big creator, you think you're so clever, you've made all these bodies, and oh, they're very nice and so cleverly done in so many ways, but actually you don't know how to create. You didn't create properly. Your creation is not good enough at all. You made these eyes which blink, so you don't know how to create. You're a dunce. You're stupid. You should go back to school. And then Radharani prayed that, I wish in my next life I want to take birth as a fish in the Yamuna, of course, because then when Krishna comes I can just see him, because apparently fish do not blink. Yeah, actually I remember reading many, many, many years ago about sharks, that the shark spends its entire life awake. The shark never sleeps. Yeah, and at the time, I remember that one so many years ago. And it struck me, oh, really. So, yes, fish do not blink. Somehow. Fish don't blink. So Radharani was thinking like that. Then I can just see Krishna and just uninterrupted. So, this is... These all have different elements in the conjugal relationship. But the fundamental element, which is the foundation, is the purity. The purity of that love. That purity, which means absence of material attraction, concern for the well-being of the beloved, of Krishna, and his well-being, concern how to please him, and willingness to do anything to please him without reservation, without any reservation at all. These are the fundamental pillars or foundational elements of the conjugal relationship. So that we should remember, that is what we are trying to cultivate in our Krishna consciousness. And therefore Lord Chaitanya himself, who was a very strict sannyasi, he was very severe actually in his renunciation, the various incidents which illustrated that. One time by the Jagannath temple, he heard one of the what they call Devadasis. They're kind of unusual. Anyway, they're ladies who stay in the temple. And traditionally, they would be like brahmacharinis, actually. And they would dance for the deity and do different sort of art, different services and different artistic types of things for the deities. And sing for the deities. Traditionally, at least. And he heard one of them singing some song glorifying Lord Jagannath, Krishna. Very, very beautiful song, and she was singing very nicely. And Lord Chaitanya, he was so sensitive to Krishna conscious stimulation that this just hit his heart so hard. He was just dragged in the direction. He went running towards in that direction, appreciating so much, even just overwhelmed by his appreciation. He wanted to embrace the singer, but Govinda came running after him and stopped him and said, "My lord, it's a lady, it's a woman singer." And the Lord Chaitanya came back to like a more external consciousness and thanked him. You saved my life," he said. So he was very severe in his renunciation. But still Lord Chaitanya said that the highest standard of devotional service is the gopis. They are the standard. They're the most advanced devotees. And their method of worshipping Krishna is the most elevated method. So therefore we follow in the footsteps of the gopis, Lord Chaitanya said. Any comments or questions?
How do you define Shanta Ras and who are the associated with
the Lord to embody Shantaras? Well, Shantaras means a great appreciation for the Lord. Great, great appreciation. Great respect and consciousness. But there's no sense of serving Him. It's just an appreciation in that neutral sense. Neutral in the sense that there's no inclination to actually render service. When that inclination to serve enters, then it becomes dasyaras. And you know, like the cows, the trees, they're generally that type of being. They're generally in shantaras. Is that okay?
The husband of the gopis, what's the relationship they have with Krishna? Obviously, you know, because they were in the spiritual world, they have some sort of affectionate relationship with Krishna.
Yeah. Yes, well, it depends, you know, it may be. See, the indirect relationship. Well, in the spiritual world, there are no husbands. That's actually one point. But it's, you know, the element of the secondary rasas like ghastliness, particularly ghastliness, they would be very prominent. Yeah. But otherwise they might have friendly relationships. But friendliness influenced by ghastliness or some mood of servitude or something like that. But influenced by ghastliness. Srila Prabhupada ki.